are a parent, then you will understand clearly the statement I'm about to make. Isn't it interesting how often children have a difficult time listening when you're trying to give them instructions? Yet as soon as you try to share something privately with your spouse or someone else, their ears are tuned like a high-tech spy plane intercepting foreign intelligence. And I believe that we, like children, are apt to not pay attention to the voice of God, unless we are concerned about what God is trying to say to someone else. Welcome, you're listening to the MediaTalk 101 podcast. MediaTalk 101 is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. Visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources, including our award-winning documentary, Captivated, which the Parents Television Council calls deft and powerful. Also, for those who might not know, this podcast is available on iTunes as well. Be sure to send us your comments or questions to podcast@MediaTalk101.org. Once again, that's podcast@MediaTalk101.org. If you find this program helpful, then please consider letting others know about it and help us get the word out. I'm your host, Philip Telfer, founder and president. Rhett Simpkins is my co-host, and now Rhett, you have a couple of boys, but they're pretty young still, so your perspective might be a little different. So let me ask you, does your two-year-old son have two ears?
Yes, he does.
Okay, now do they work? Can he hear?
Yes, he can.
Now, even at 2 years old, would you say that he always listens when you are speaking to him?
Unfortunately not, especially when we're sitting down at the table trying to eat and he's throwing his food around.
Aha, I remember those days. Now, mine are out of diapers, praise God, and they are, for the most part, not throwing food at the table. They're at that age, but I remember those times. Well, you know, you're not alone and you're not a bad parent. Children often demonstrate the bent that we all have when it comes to the struggle with hearing, but not listening. Hearing and listening and obeying are each a unique subject. And over the years, I've frequently been asked about the subject of hearing God. And the topic itself is really challenging, but then add to the mix the digital age with constant noise and distractions, and we have to realize we're facing an uphill battle.
That's a good point, that there's a difference between hearing and listening and obeying.
Yes, and you know, even though I've titled this podcast Hearing God in a World Full of Noise, I think the hearing part of the equation is not as big of a challenge as the listening and obeying part. And I could give you daily examples in our home with our four children, but just a day ago, I had said goodnight to three of my children who were tucked into bed while the fourth one was getting ready for bed. And my wife, Mary, and I were in our room, which is across the hall from our children's bedrooms. And I was actually talking quietly with her about an article I had seen in the news about a certain food recall because we have at times in the past purchased the item that was being brought up in this article. And I wanted to make sure we didn't have any of this in our freezer. Now, just then, my 11-year-old son popped into our room and said, did I hear Papa saying something about... And then he started, you know, describing this particular food product. And we just looked at him like, hey, go back to bed, you know? And yet, I love my son dearly. But I'll tell you, there are so many times during the day that I'll give him some instructions where it seems like the boy has no ears. He can't hear. But try to have a private conversation, and all of a sudden he's locked in, you know. So this is also a frequent occurrence. We see this happening a lot when we're driving somewhere in our minivan. And so Mary and I will be in the front seats. And, you know, even if they're being, you know, sometimes kids get ruckusy and, you know, you could tell them to be quiet or calm down. And once again, they don't always seem to hear. And then I'll try to just whisper something, you know, have a quiet, private conversation while driving, and they are all ears. What was that? What are you saying? What are you talking about? I was like, we weren't talking to you. And so we have this tendency. We've even joked once in a while because this is such a phenomena that's so common. I don't know if it's everybody else's house. If maybe it's just ours. But we sometimes joke. It's like, watch this. Let's try to get, when we can't get their attention, let's say, hey, let's whisper and talk about ice cream. And and all of a sudden, you know, where we couldn't get their attention before, what is it that you're talking about up there? And so we have a lot of fun with that. I love my children. But anyway, all that being said, I have to confess, I'm also guilty of not listening to my Heavenly Father speak to me. And then, just like my children, I'm inclined to be concern myself with other people's matters that are not my own.
Now, you said that you didn't think that hearing God was as big of a challenge as listening and obeying. Can you explain that?
Let me qualify that by saying first that when talking about hearing God, I'm not talking about an audible voice. Now, God has spoken audibly. You know, we see record of that in the Bible, and certainly he still can speak to people audibly if he chooses. But in the Bible, it's the most rare occurrence. And the Bible clearly teaches that God speaks. He's a communicative God. He has revealed himself as such. And otherwise, you know, he has a prerogative as the one and only true God and creator to be otherwise if he wished. But thankfully, we see that he is a God who likes to communicate. I'm glad for that. And communication seems to be a part of his character that's also been imparted to us. Now, one of the reasons this is such an important topic to talk about in this podcast and why people are bringing up this question is these very questions. People are asking, why don't I hear from God? Or what's wrong with me because I don't hear from him? Or how can I hear from God? Or here's a better one. You know, this is probably more common with me. Why won't that person listen to God? Or even, you know, there might be some people thinking, you know, does God really speak to us today? And so, you know, if you're listening and you're questioning these things, I want you to take courage and to have hope, because there are many ways that God speaks to us, whether it's to us as a church, a body of believers, or to us as a nation, or to us as a family, or as an individual. And we see that in his word. We see that there are a variety of ways that he speaks. So I want to give you just a quick overview, and then, you know, we can revisit some of these more carefully. One of the first ways that I've already mentioned that you see in God's word is God's audible voice. But once again, this is rare. We see this at Jesus' baptism in Matthew 3:17. It says, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Also, you know, we see on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus went up with James and John and Peter, it's Matthew 17, verse 5, it says, "While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.'" And we have another example of Saul, who was persecuting Christians, and he was on the road to Damascus to persecute more Christians when he saw a vision of Jesus, was blinded by a light and knocked off his horse. And it says he, Acts chapter 9, verse 4, "He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" So there we have some examples. There are some others, but those are some notable ones. A second way that the Bible actually reveals to us that God speaks is face-to-face. Now, this is extremely rare. In fact, there's I know quite a bit of the Bible, but I can't say that I know off the top of my head all the different possibilities. But the only thing that came to my mind was the story of Moses, where it says that Moses spoke, or God spoke to Moses face-to-face. But even when you read that, you see that the Bible describes this face-to-face not in the same way that we would think of face-to-face. So let me read from Exodus chapter 33, verses 19 and 20, it says, "Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you." So this is God speaking to Moses. "And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." So there's a, this is an interesting verse that I bring up because in Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, it says, "Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" So in this case, when it's talking about face to face, it's not that Moses was visibly seeing the face of God and hearing his voice, but he was hearing the audible voice of God, but they were communicating back and forth, back and forth. God would say something, Moses would say something. God would say something, Moses would say something. And this was not in what God said, dark sayings. It was just plain. They were talking plainly. Now, God himself in Numbers 12, which I just read, said, this is not normal. This is not his normative way of communicating with people. This was unique to Moses. Now, a third way, and I don't have these in any particular order. There's just as they came to mind, these are the things I jotted down in preparing for this podcast. But the third thing is God speaks through his son, Jesus. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds." So we see that God has spoken and continues to speak to us through his Son, Jesus. Now, a fourth way that we see in the scriptures that God speaks is through others. And there are so many examples of this, but here's one that encompasses a few, some nuances. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 26 says, "Disaster will come upon disaster, and rumor will be upon rumor. Then they will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will perish from the priest and counsel from the elders." Now, these were three ways that you would normally seek to hear from God back then in the Old Testament. You could seek a vision or a word from a prophet, or you would consult the law from a priest, or you would get counsel from elders. And so there's three examples there, but there's more, because in that there's mentioned prophecy. Even in the New Testament, it talks about prophecy or words of wisdom that you could receive from others, or words of knowledge that come through God's Holy Spirit, or even wise counsel. You know, wise counsel could be from a single person, singular, I should say. I mean, it could be single or married, but you know, it could be an individual, or it could be a group of people where there's wisdom and a multitude of counselors. Now, also a fifth way that God speaks to us is through scriptures, and there are so many. I mean, we don't even need to quote scriptures on that one. Mm-hmm. Hopefully everybody knows that God, it's his word. It's God has given this to us. It's a blessing to have the word of God, the Bible. Another way, though, a sixth way that I believe he speaks to us according to God's word is to our own spirit, or what we would call, what's commonly called the still small voice. Now that is, that still small voice, that's taken from 1 Kings chapter 19. And in here, it's Elijah, the prophet. And verse 11, it says, and this is God speaking to Elijah. He says, "Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah?" So We don't have time to go into that whole passage. It's a very interesting mm-hmm. one. But that's, anyway, that's where we get this idea of the still, small voice. And it's been taken even a little bit beyond this context here. But I think we can understand that, that there's different ways that the Lord can speak to us. I think another way, a seventh way that God can speak to us is through hindsight. You know, when we can witness the manifestation of God's unseen hand through providential guidance. This is an important way to recognize God's voice. And once again, there could be so many scriptures I bring up, but there's a interesting story in the book of 1 Samuel. And this is when Hannah comes, because she's childless, and she comes and she pleads to the Lord, you know, and Eli, who there in the tabernacle sees her. He thinks she's drunk because she's pouring out her heart to the Lord, and he rebukes her, but then she corrects him and says, no, it's because my heart is really troubled. And so Eli, it says in verse 17 of chapter 1, it says, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. So she had asked something of God, and she was looking for an answer. And he says, may God grant that. Well, how did he grant that? Well, she got pregnant. Hmm. So it wasn't that she heard an audible voice from God that says, you know, I've heard your cry, and you are going to have a baby. And in this case, it's just Eli making this comment saying, you know, go in peace. God's going to grant this. So God is both speaking in some way through Eli, but even more so in hindsight, now that, you know, when Hannah has a baby, she realizes, oh, you know, the Lord was speaking. You know, so God does that many times when we see that unseen hand through providential guidance. Now, another one that I just want to include here, because I already talked about how God speaks through others, but there's a very exceptional case which has already been brought up, and he kind of deserves his own little spot, and that was through Moses. You know, so God spoke through Moses, and we saw that the way even God spoke through Moses was unique, but God spoke to others through him. Not only did he speak audibly, not only did he speak face to face, but it was for the sake of God's people. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, there's a really important verse that I've spent a lot of time over the years just kind of meditating on, because shows so much to us about how we understand God speaking. So let me just read, starting with verse 23. It says, these words the Lord spoke to all your assembly in the mountain from the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness with a loud voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. So this is Moses speaking. So it was when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, surely the Lord God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet he lives. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? You go near and hear all the Lord our God may say, and tell us all that the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear and do it. Then the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. The last verse here, we have God speaking. He says, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Now, that was a lengthy passage, but there's some important things to look at here. First of all, it's not clear whether they heard distinct words from God. They just saw the fire, they heard the rumblings, the lightning, loud trumpets, and they said, Moses, you go speak with God. And he came back and revealed to them what God had spoken. And this is where this comes out of. So this is kind of a response to that. It was actually Moses hearing God. But they were witnesses that Moses had heard from God, and it was sufficient for them. And God doesn't rebuke them when they say, hey, we don't want to hear anymore. God says, no, it's well what they've said. But notice his concern here is not just them hearing his voice. His concern is right there at the end. Verse 29, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments. So he knows, like, there's many ways I can speak to you. But the question is, are you going to listen and obey?
So here's a big question. Does God expect us to hear his voice today?
You know, that is a great question. It's a valid question. In the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 3, starting with verse 12, it says, beware, brethren. So this is the writer of Hebrews speaking to the first century church. Brethren, so this speaks to us as well. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, and he quotes an Old Testament passage here, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And there's a lot, that whole chapter is too much. We don't have enough time to go through all the details of that passage. But I do want to point out here that the writer of Hebrews is quoting the Old Testament, and he's applying it to the New Testament believers, saying, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So certainly there's an expectation that we would be hearing his voice today in some sense, but also responding. You know, once again, that's the key, is responding here. Do not harden your hearts.
That's a great overview about the different ways that God speaks to us. But don't you believe that there are some hindrances? You imply that in your title.
Yes, we do live in a world full of noise and tumult and distractions. And probably one of the most well-known verses that is quoted oftentimes comes from Psalm 46, where it says, be still and know that I am God. And, you know, we have a hard time. I mean, it's always, obviously, even in the days that this was written, that psalm, it was difficult for people to take time and be still before God, to be at peace and recognize that he is God, and spend that time meditating on him. But today, things have ramped up so much. We have this continual torrent of information and noise that is really unprecedented. So what we can conclude from that is, if it was a problem in the days that was written, be still and know that you'd have to be instructed to be still, how much more does it apply to today? One of my favorite quotes about this from A.W. Tozer, he's quoting from Psalm 4:4, where it says, commune with your heart upon your own bed and be still. And some translations say meditate. But he makes some comments on that. He says, this is wise and healing counsel. But how can it be followed in this day of the newspaper, the telephone, the radio, and the television? These modern playthings like pet tiger cubs have grown so large and dangerous that they threaten to devour us all. No spot is now safe from the world's intrusion. And now this is written, I'm not exactly sure, but you know, 40s or 50s, somewhere in that time span there Pastor Tozer was writing these things. And so if you think about that, wow, you know, he's just talking about newspapers and telephones and radio and televisions. He had no idea what was coming down the lane here. And to see how it didn't stop there. It just more and more things continued to take our attention and our time. Another thing that can distract us or be a problem when it comes to hearing the voice of God is the Bible teaches that we, not only as a body of believers, but also as individuals, are called the temple of the Holy Spirit. which, you know, if you think of the temple, that's where the presence of God dwells. And I've talked about this in other podcasts, but there's just so much compromise today in the church. And the temple has been defiled, both on a corporate view, you know, as the corporate body, the church. When there's compromise in the church, it defiles the temple. And when the temple is defiled, the glory of God is not present, and the temple has to be cleansed. And likewise, in our own personal lives, the Holy Spirit can, the Bible teaches that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be quenched in our life. And so if there's compromise in our life with all these, so many distractions and some of the content in media, that can be a problem. You know, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Bible teaches us he's a person. He's not an impersonal force that's out there, you know, or just some sort of, you know, nebulous presence. He's talked about as a person. I mean, he can be grieved, he can be quenched. And the other thing that you need to know, well, you know this already, but it's just a good reminder, you are a person. You know, you're a unique person. And we don't think about this often, but when two unique people have a relationship, that there's no other connection in the world that's like that relationship, because we're all unique. So Rhett, you're a unique person, I'm a unique person. So when Rhett and Philip hang out and we talk, that unique connection doesn't exist anywhere else, because I don't exist anywhere else and you don't exist anywhere else. We're unique people. And so likewise, the Holy Spirit is like that. You know, he is a person and you are a person, and that relationship is a unique relationship, and it needs to be fostered. I mean, you need to be getting to know God's Holy Spirit instead of quenching him, instead of really so many things that I think the result of it is we're having a hard time hearing and listening and obeying the voice of God. So, you know, relationships require communication, and not only just communication with the Holy Spirit, but also, you know, with all of the distractions today in this world full of noise. Another thing that's becoming more and more common, and once again, these were things that have been a struggle in the church for 2,000 years, and even before that, but now they've been ramped up, and that's in the neglect of God's word. You know, we're neglecting God. We're neglecting spending time in God's word. We just, in my overview, I was talking about how that's one of the ways we hear from God. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to hear from him if you're not in God's word? And, you know, there's another thing about that too, is that I believe that spending time in God's word is also one of the ways that we tune our ears to hear the voice of the Lord through all the din of this world. And so if you're wanting to have discernment of, is this the Lord speaking to me? It's like, well, you've got to know the word. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to discern that. Mm-hmm. So the word of God trains you to comprehend and understand and to discern correctly the voice of the Lord. We're also neglecting prayer. You know, our prayer lives are terrible, you know, and I know that I'm working on this in my own life, but I have to confess it's not where it really needs to be. And so the neglect of prayer, and I don't even consume a whole lot of media, but yet we live in this hyper-paced world, which includes a lot of media distractions. And so when I think about my life, which is I've tried to pare down quite a bit and I'm still struggling, I can't imagine the average person who watches 4.7 hours of TV each day, or the average teen who's consuming 7.5 hours of media every day. I'm like, where are you going to find time to pray? We're also neglecting just quiet meditation, you know, spending quiet time before the Lord, where we're just reflecting on him, reflecting on his word. I've been for the last week or so, I've been just meditating on some particular passages that the Lord's been speaking to me through. So I've been meditating on them. You know, and the Bible also says that Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. And when our hearts are cluttered, when we have a lot of this noise and what I would call, you know, light pollution, and that's why you can't see the stars at night. I've used this illustration mm-hmm. before. We don't. When you have a lot of light pollution in a city, you can't see the stars. And likewise, when our hearts are polluted and when it's just so full of noise, we're going to have a hard time hearing and seeing God the way he wants us to see him. So he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I'd say lastly, you know, to kind of answer your question about this torrent of information and noise and distractions, I think about the book Musing Ourselves to Death by Neil Postman, which I've mentioned before. I'll continue to mention it. It's a great book. One of the things that stood out to me when I was reading that was he talked about information overload. And I'm kind of compressing it here, but kind of the gist of it was that information overload would causes everything to be trivialized. Mm-hmm. So if we have so much information coming in, now nothing is important. And I've seen that in our culture today. So those are some examples.
I think we need to give this topic a little more time than we have in this week's podcast. Would you be interested in continuing it next week?
Yes. You know, I think that's a great idea because I feel like I'm just winding up on this. And so I don't want to be late. I don't want to make this one super long. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like I've really... I feel like there's a lot more I have to say about this. So yeah, let's do another episode on this subject next week.
Can you give us an action step or two at this point?
Sure. You know, I'd say, you know, to just kind of recap what I've emphasized so far is that God speaks in many ways. And if we're struggling with hearing God, then we certainly need to carve out some quiet time each day. Give our attention to listening to him. And of course, subsequently obeying him. But I'm getting ahead of myself there. We're going to have to save that because I'm going to start ramping up again. And because once again, there's so much I have to say about this, but be sure to listen to next week's podcast. And you have been listening to the MediaTalk 101 podcast. Visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources. If you have a question or a topic you would like to have discussed on this program, please send an email to podcast@MediaTalk101.org. And once again, a reminder that you can also find this podcast at iTunes. And I bring that up because I had a great conversation with one of our listeners today, and he made that suggestion. He says, you know, you really should get this on iTunes. And I said, well, it's already there. So it occurred to me that maybe people don't know, and we maybe need to do a better job in getting the word out. So you can find this in iTunes. It's a convenient way to get the weekly podcast. So join us next week for the final part of Hearing God in a World Full of Noise.